Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Test my voice out a little bit here. Sounds like it's still working, but I do have a little bit chest and voice issues, so bear with me, please. It was interesting in the Sunday school, it was mentioned different times about the family of God. And sermon title this morning is Family, God's Plan. This weekend, as you all well know, is Family Day weekend. Tomorrow is the official holiday, and it is somewhat of a newer holiday for us here in BC. It became a stat holiday in this province in 2013, I believe it was. The province of Alberta was the first, however, to celebrate this holiday and introduced it in 1990. Most of the provinces followed suit over time. The intent of the holiday was to encourage spending time with family, filling the long holiday-free gap between New Year's Day and Good Friday. If you talk to the people south of us, they think we have a lot of holidays. I would say it's a great holiday, but as we all know, it's going to take more than Family Day to create great family life. Good, solid families are created on something more than just holidays. Personally, I'm actually glad we have a holiday in the middle of February, and I think my family benefits from it. However, I would say we are average as well and basically treated as a normal holiday, just like many others. Maybe you are an exception to that, and that would be wonderful. However, with all of this in my mind and thinking about a sermon to bring, what better subject is there than family on Family Day weekend? Family we take for granted. At least I do at times, and I want to take this time to refocus in my life. Family is a tremendous gift from God, and He had a plan in bringing families into the world. What does the Bible have to say about this subject? This fact is very important, and the Bible does have a lot to say about family. We will get into that shortly, but I also thought it would be interesting to look a little bit into what society says about family. What does history say about family? Statistics and so on. So I'm not going to nearly cover anything, everything. I want to try to bring some of the things out that I came across, just some random things. History would show that family has functioned as a central unit of society. It is the bedrock. And the scriptures also prove that to us. It's nothing new. Families were part of God's plan from the beginning. Nations are built from solid families. If a nation is suffering, it nearly always goes back to, how are the families? What kind of families do you have? We have all heard it before that dysfunctional families and broken homes are what send many a young person to prison. Is there any wonder of the decline in Western society with all the exceptions and deviations from truth and practice in regards to God's principles on family? Someone put it this way, that family is the nursery of the nation. Here's another quote. Family life is a critical factor in the development of criminal behavior with ineffective parenting, characterized by poor supervision, inconsistent discipline, and weak emotional bonds, serving as a major risk factor for juvenile delinquency and youth gang involvement. Stable, nurturing households act as protective factors, while instability, such as broken homes or parental criminality, strongly correlates with higher rates of offending. What are some of the things that shifted the focus on family in North America? We would say in recent years that social media has affected that tremendously. The social pressure has become greater than the influence of parents and family. Post-World War II, many women entered the workforce, and it's common practice today in our culture for there to be dual-earner households. Children head off to daycare. Along with this, factories and industrialization caused many to shift from the common family farms to working away from home. Divorce is common, broken homes. I do believe as a general rule that in our society, even with the breakdown of core solid values in family life, single parent families and so on, that there's still the strong emphasis on family, at least to a degree. People will absorb lots simply because, as we would say, their family. And that's not all bad, but it can create problems. There's no shortage of those examples in the scriptures as well. Family, as God intended, is where there is blessing. Family is somewhere you should feel loved and appreciated. What does family mean to you? Our view of family will have a whole lot to do with how we were brought up. Hopefully most of the good things we desire for family were inspired by a good family life that we enjoy growing up, but very likely there are some things that we strive to do differently simply because of how our family did things, or perhaps we even carry some weights or hindrances simply because of that as well. So what does family mean to you? Here's some popular quotes. You may have heard them before. Family is not an important thing. It's everything. The family is one of nature's masterpieces. Family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. Other things may change us, but we start and end with the family. The love of a family is life's greatest blessing. Family really, truly is a blessing and a security when it is followed using God's pattern. So many things are lost when God's pattern is lost. And while blood runs thick and so on, God's plan for family was not simply about a bloodline. It was about creating a loving, secure environment that reflects his love, nurtures faith, and brings glory to him. It is designed around marriage as a union between one man and one woman, aimed at procreation, raising children in righteousness, and a building block in the Church of Christ, the family of God. Family in its finest is only a miniature reflection of God, of the family of God. What does family mean to you? I keep asking you that question just to keep your mind thinking. Well, at the end of the day, no matter who we are or how much we would be inclined to confirm or deny it, family really is nearly everything to us. We should not even try to deny that. That was God's plan from the beginning. Even if we are in a state of denial about family, there will be a deep desire for that family bond. Something that works, something that's real. God gives the blessing of family, but as we already noticed, there is something deeper and more meaningful in a family that loves the Lord and follows God's pattern. So let's look at the foundation of family. God instituted family with the institution of marriage in Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Genesis 2, verses 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Just like with all the other good things God created, man sins, and all the perfection and beauty that God intended is tainted, and things that are created and meant for good can become painful things. We see that already near the beginning with Adam and Eve's family. Cain resented Abel and ended up killing him. Isaac and Rebekah showed favoritism between their twins, Esau and Jacob, and this led to deception and a deep, long-lasting rift. Joseph and his brothers, again, jealousy over favoritism caused them to sell Joseph into slavery. But also a tremendous story of God using family to bring about his purposes in spite of their weaknesses and failures. King David's family suffered from multiple family conflicts and on so many levels. Do you know that Jesus' family also faced tension and questions at times in regarding to his ministry? Imagine the tension of being a whole day's journey along and suddenly realizing he's not around anywhere. Also, at one point later on, when Jesus was teaching the people, his mother and brothers came calling, looking for him. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brethren? Humans being humans, that definitely could have called for some tense moments. But there's more to this, however, and we will look at it more towards the end of the sermon. After Jesus said, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" he looked around about them and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Let's think about now some godly examples of family in the Bible. One thing we will find out, though, is that with nearly every godly example, we can also find their flaws. These were normal people with like passions as we are. But they move with faith and intention. So must we. Allow God to lead us as families to be used for his glory. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, and then verse 7. Abraham and Sarah are inspiring us with their faith and obedience. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Noah led a godly family. Genesis 6, verse 9, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." Hebrews 11, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Joseph and Mary, God chose the security of a home to bring Jesus to the world, to fulfill his purposes for mankind. Matthew 1, verses 20 through 24, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth his son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth his son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, their home became a center for teaching and nurturing early Christians. They used their resources to further God's kingdom. It does not mention anywhere that they had children, but I do believe that they showed hearts of love and everyone felt like family at their home. Cornelius and his family, Acts 10 verse 2, "A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." Timothy's family, the Bible talks about the faith of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Family is God's plan. What are we doing as families to further God's kingdom? Really, the responsibility that lies largely with fathers as the heads of the home, but it's a joint effort of husbands and wives to create enduring, solid families that will produce generations of faith and love. So what are some characteristics of a godly family? A godly family serves the Lord. John 12, verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Joshua 24, 15, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Serving the Lord is doing everything as to the Lord. Matthew 25, verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Families that serve the Lord serve others, and that will be seen first in the home among husbands and wife. Teaching servanthood by example will go a long way in bringing up children to serve others. parents that served and taught their children to serve will also find that children will rise up and meet the challenges of life. They will also rise up to meet the parents' needs when they can no longer do so when they are elderly. Serving individuals and serving families will have an untold blessing of working together. Family serving the community is a tremendous testimony for Christ. Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." A godly family seeks God. How important is family worship and going to church to us as families, singing and praying together and so on? I'm sure you've heard it said before, the family that prays together stays together. Godly families will have God as the most important thing in their life. Doing things together as a family are very important. Recreational times and all of that. But godly families seek God first. So if we seek God first, so many things fall perfectly into place. Matthew 6:34, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Raising family carries a lot of responsibility and hard work, but with seeking God first, those things become a reality of joy, reward, and blessing. Noah built an altar to the Lord. He was a preacher of righteousness. He listened to the leading of God and built an ark. There are so many other good examples of family in the Bible, and always worship and obedience to God were the primary focus of their life. Job 1 verse 5, and it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Also, a godly family speaks truth. Ephesians 4, verse 25, Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In general terms, we know that lying is wrong and that we must speak the truth. That is part of this point, but there's also the aspect of speaking truth that may even be harder to follow through with, when things would be easier to ignore and be left unsaid. Not really lying, but avoiding the truth. Jonathan defended truth to King Saul about David and nearly lost his life. Abigail spoke the truth about Nabal's character and intervened to save many lives. Jesus spoke the truth to his mother and brothers. He reminded them of his divine mission and the necessity of prioritizing God's will. Godly families must be honest with each other. A godly family also shows unconditional love. I used the term that blood runs thick once before. Even in those cases, I don't believe even that really comes close to unconditional love. What is unconditional love? 1 Peter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Proverbs 10, 12, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." We could take this out of context and say that love covers all sins by taking the position of ignoring or enabling wrongdoing. That's not what it means. I'm sure we understand that. However, love chooses to overlook minor offenses, refrain from gossip, and promote healing in relationships. Unconditional love is genuine and selfless. It focuses on reconciliation, forgiveness, and mercy rather than dwelling on or exposing the faults of others. I'm not sure who to pick on in examples of this, but I'm sure things come to your mind. For myself, I would think of my siblings who know me quite well or have known me quite well. Anyway, a lot of years have gone by since I lived at home. But in thinking of my brothers especially, we had our occasional spats, but at the end of the day, we really cared about each other. You want what is best for them, and if you find yourself in trouble or doing something ridiculous, they don't abandon you. Guess what? When difficult times come, they rally around you. Godly family stands together not in compromise, but in unconditional love. A godly family stays humble. All these points are for parents especially, because we know that more is caught than taught. Appearance, if we really admit it, means at least something to us. We want others to think well of us. As parents, that must mean very little to us. Yes, we want a good reputation, but remember, reputation takes care of itself. Proving something doesn't prove anything most times. Find joy in lifting others up rather than ourselves. One big, happy family is way better than prim and proper and having things perfect. Children will be children, not to excuse misbehavior or anything like that, but children know when you are embarrassed to them, and they can feel when you are trying to put a show on. That does not make for a happy and godly family. Raising a family in humility, admitting our weaknesses and mistakes, and just simply doing our best out of love will go a long way in bringing security to a family. It also will bring God's blessing. James 4, verse 6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Family must be built on God, and we cannot build on God when we are worried about making impressions and pleasing those around us with our so-called perfect family. A godly family is united. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." This verse I just read was written by Paul to address divisions in the church. We already made the distinction earlier on in a sermon that families make up church. And have you ever noticed so often when there is division in church, there's division within families? Well, I don't profess to have all the answers to this, but there's one thing for sure, that God does not approve of strife and divisions within the home or the church. A godly family with Christ as the center of the home and the common goal of serving others, seeking God, speaking truth, showing unconditional love, and doing it all in humility will bring about unity within family and within church. These things will bring about unity and a wonderful working together. There will be those who have hard hearts and test this. We all are human. We all have a personal choice to make, no matter whether how we were brought up. Maybe we were brought up in a perfect or next to perfect home, or a godly home that was striving to do what is right. We still had to make the choice to follow Christ. But remember, the things of God will last, no matter how our home may fail at times. Hang on to the things of God. Keep the solid foundation of God in the home. Last characteristic that I put down for godly families is a godly family forgives. Maybe this one should have been right next to unconditional love. I'm not sure, but I do think they need to be separated, because unconditional love is not the same thing as forgiveness. We've had forgiveness discussions in the past, and I don't plan to dive into that too far this morning. However, I have enjoyed those discussions, and I think they are good, and I think we needed to keep talking about it, because Jesus himself said if we don't forgive, he cannot forgive us. Now, there's a difference between divine forgiveness and the kind of forgiveness we can give. And for one to be forgiven, there also has to be repentance. Otherwise, it's not forgiveness. But the forgiveness we talk about generally in the English language means to not harbor resentment and hard feelings towards someone. Drop the resentment and bitterness. God cannot work with that. Godly families forgive, and if deeper forgiveness is needed, they will do that too. Luke 17, verse 3, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Practice forgiveness in the homes, in your home. It is part of being a godly family. Earthly families are but a glimpse of being part of the family of God. We truly have a blessing if we are part of a family and especially part of a godly family. However, there is something even more special about being part of the family of God. Remember what Jesus told his mother and brothers? Everyone is my family that does the will of the Father. So it does not matter who we are, where we come from, what we've done, how broken our home may be, or what bloodline we may have, we can be part of the family of God. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I suppose the ultimate heart cry of this sermon would be that we all would be part of the family of God. I pray also that God would help us as parents to provide stability and security in our homes so that our children can better understand the value of being part of the family of God. So God bless your homes and your extended families. Let's broaden our families. We are the family of God. Poem in closing, "The Family of God." What a privilege to be in God's loving family. Sweet fellowship divine. Just to know that others care and are lifting us in prayer. Such joy and peace of mind in the family of God. When in Jesus we abide and we worship side by side, blessings are without end. Let us love one another, every sister and brother, and seek the lost to win to the family of God. Living for Jesus, our Lord, obeying his precious word, our pleasure is evermore. What a privilege to be born from above and set free, headed for heaven's shore in the family of God. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing to us. We thank you for the gift of family. Thank you for the gift that we can have to be part of the family of God. Help us to serve you faithfully. Help us to show to the world the joy of being part of the family of God. Forgive us in our weaknesses and failures. Help us to press on. Pray for those who are unwell. Pray for all the cold and flus going around. Pray that you would heal. Pray for those who couldn't make it this morning. Give them a special blessing as well. Pray for those who are hurting physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, just touch each one with your grace and love. Bless this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.